Before I got up here a couple months ago, I was talking to Derek, the lead pastor. He hasn't been here the last couple of weeks, so if you don't know him, he's the lead pastor here. I was talking to him about coming up here and what I was going to need to know, where I was going to stay, and we really went through just about everything, but Derek forgot to tell me one thing. He forgot to mention that you can't do fireworks here on the 4th of July, and that might have been a deal breaker if I had known that beforehand. I'm just kidding. It's been real good being here. I've really enjoyed it, getting to know most of you in here. I really want to get to know everybody in here before I leave next month. So if you haven't yet, please take me out to lunch. Let's get to know each other. I want to know where your heart is. And man, I've had a blast since I've gotten up here. We're in a new sermon series today. It's called Hope from a Prison. I'm real excited to get into it. We got a lot to talk about. So let's pray and then we'll get started. God, thanks for this day. We love you. We worship you. We want to get to know you more. Lord, make our hearts hungry for more. Make our hearts hungry to teach about you and to share you and to just know you more, Lord, and to love you. I pray that through this series that we learn what Paul was writing to us and just that we can apply it today and get people to work down the assembly line, Lord. I pray this in your name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, open them up to Philippians. We're going to be in chapter 1 today, verses 1 through 11. And I'll go ahead and start reading that as you guys open it up. Verse 1, chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, verse 2, grace and peace to you from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus. Now, Paul writes two kind of letters. He either writes a letter, like he's doing here in Philippians, where he pats people on the back for the good works that they're doing. Or he writes a letter where he's kind of telling people, man, you're doing this wrong. You need to fix this. You're doing something bad. But either way, whether he's patting them on the back or if he's telling them that they need to work on something, he's encouraging both ways. He's uplifting. He's loving. He's caring. And I love that. We talked last week about how Paul needed to apply things in his day the way that culture needed to hear it and learn it, and that we need to apply things today the way that culture needs to hear it now. And it's a little bit different than in Paul's day. But I think it's important to learn from Paul that to be uplifting, whether you're patting somebody on the back or if you're telling them that they're doing something wrong, it's important to be caring and loving either way. Another important thing I think that kind of gets left out of the church is a little bit of background in the books that we read and in the Bible. So I'm going to go over a little bit of stuff here. I think it's important to know why Paul is writing to the people in Philippi. And it's also important to notice that in verse 1, it says Paul and Timothy. So it's not just Paul writing here, but Timothy isn't really writing here. He's probably being added in the title because of his ties to the church in Philippi. So it's important to know that Philippians is a book, or a letter rather, written by Paul to the people in Philippi. Verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers, verse 4, for all of you, I always pray with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Another thing that Paul always includes in all of his letters and writings is a thanksgiving and a prayer. And I think that that's important because it kind of allows for a respect factor between both parties. It allows for respect to the people in Philippi to trust Paul, that he cares for them, that he's praying for them. And Paul, obviously, is caring for them and praying for them. But just because that there's this mutual respect doesn't mean that people always respond immediately. A couple of weeks ago, I went home for my sister's wedding. And thanks for the support of that. Everyone was asking me questions. The wedding went real well. But while I was home, this guy texted me, and he asked me if he could be baptized. And if you remember last week, we had our assembly line. And if you weren't here last week, let me briefly go over that. Over here in the car assembly line, you have the ones. The ones are the people that don't know Jesus. This is the car parts. They're not put together at all yet. And over here, you have the tens. This is the car. It's well built. It's nice. Well, Chase, this guy that I was talking to that wanted to be baptized, was definitely a one on the assembly line. And he's like, man, I want to get baptized. I'm like, that's awesome. Let's go get some lunch. Let me tell you a little bit about baptism and what it means. And then let's go over to my home church in Greenfield and get you baptized. Well, Chase never showed up to lunch. And I called him and he never answered. And I haven't been able to get a hold of him since. But what I have to understand is I could be discouraged in this. And maybe I should be a little bit. But just by asking Chase to lunch, he's no longer a one on this assembly line. He's now a two. Because now he knows where to go. He knows where to go when he's ready to take that next step in his faith. And that's awesome. I think that's great. Philippians 1:7. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. Paul is writing and has been writing from jail. He's in a prison. And if you remember, before Paul was Paul, his name was Saul. And Saul killed Christians. He murdered them and he threw them in jail just for being Christians. And that's why Paul is in jail now. And it bothers me so much when people say that they can't tell people about Jesus because there's just something wrong with them, that they don't have, that they're sinful, that they don't have that relationship with Christ. Everyone has a relationship with Christ if they want it. We have to understand that we're all sinners. We're all sinners in a fallen world. And until we accept Jesus into our hearts, that's all we're ever going to be, are sinners in a fallen world. We think the way that we're teaching, the way that Paul did, we have to introduce the heart of Jesus into people's hearts today the way that Paul did, and do that way. Another thing that I like to use is this kind of example. Think to Genesis when Adam was in the garden. And he's in the garden, and God tells him not to eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. Adam, of course, goes with Eve and eats in the middle of the garden at the tree that he wasn't supposed to eat at. And just after that, God comes to Adam and he says, Adam, where are you? And God was not asking Adam where he was from a geographical standpoint. He was asking Adam where he was with his heart. And he's asking us every day where we are with our heart. Where are we, a one on the assembly line? Is this our first time to church? And if it is, are we striving to get better? I think we are. You're here. Even more important, are you a 10 or an 8 or a 9 on the assembly line? And if you are, there's still room to grow. You can have a car wash and kind of just keep growing. And more importantly than anything, if you're a 7 or an 8 or a 9 or a 10 on this assembly line, are you coming down here to work with the ones and the twos? Are you willing to come down here and do that? There's an illustration that I think a lot of you have probably seen before. It's called the bridge illustration, and I think we have a slide, if we can get that up, of it. So essentially over here, this is reversed from the last slide, you have man on this rock. And over here, you have God on this rock, right? And in between is sin. Well, Jesus comes in, and he dies on the cross for us, and his cross goes in between the sin, and it makes a gap, or it makes a bridge between the gap so that we can get from man to God. And a lot of us have gone across that bridge. It's a hard bridge sometimes for some of us to follow, but we're here. We're with God now. But the thing that we forget is that we got to go back over to this side. We got to go back and get more people. We know God. God knows us. God knows our heart. And he's not going anywhere. And as long as we don't leave him, he's not going to leave us. So we got to go back over here, bring God with us, tell people, and help them along their journey to get across the sin, get across the cross that Jesus made for us. Come over here and know God. We got to get people over here. And we have a lot to lose ourselves. Jesus says that to die is gain. And we have to start laying down our own lives. We have to start going back to tell more people about Jesus. A couple of weeks ago, I preached here, and I used the illustration from David Platt that the poor, sinless, innocent man, well, not sinless, but the poor, innocent man in Africa that doesn't know Jesus, doesn't he go to heaven anyway? And the answer is no, because that poor, innocent man in Africa doesn't exist. And that poor, innocent man in Fairbanks doesn't exist either. We have to go back across the bridge and tell people about Jesus. this past week was the Burwell versus Hobby Lobby case, and I'll give you a little bit of background if you haven't seen that. I'm real passionate on my beliefs of abortion, and if you differ from me, please come talk to me after service. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about that. So here's my unexperienced, kind of uneducated stance on Burwell versus Hobby Lobby. If you don't know what it was, Hobby Lobby was having to provide insurance for kind of the morning after pill or an abortion for somebody in their employment that wanted an abortion. And Hobby Lobby was like, we don't believe that. We think that God is against abortion and we don't want to have to provide insurance. So they took it to court. It went all the way to the Supreme Court. And Hobby Lobby actually won the case and they no longer have to provide insurance for that anymore. And I was reading some blogs about it from opposing views against Hobby Lobby. And one of them said, Christians just blackened their own eye. And they're right. We did just blacken our own eye. People that are pro-abortion will now dislike Christians even more. But the thing is, and the thing where I think Hobby Lobby has it, and the thing where I think that they're right, is they didn't care about what the public thought. They didn't care. They cared about what God thought. And they're bringing what God thinks down here to these people so that they can tell them what is right and what is wrong. And man, Hobby Lobby, they get it. And I love that. I love that Paul applied things in his day. He gay marriage, abortion, any of that back in his day, he told him the truth. And a lot of us aren't doing that anymore today. And I think I really look up to the family that is in charge of Hobby Lobby for what they did. Philippians 1:8. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I can stand up here all day and tell you that we should be volunteering, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But I'm real excited for Journey. I'm real excited for the opportunity that God is giving this church with a new building and the multitude of opportunities that come with that. And the question is, with that poor innocent man in Fairbanks in mind, how are we going to use the church? How are we going to use the building that God is giving us? Are we going to use it to give the tens a car wash and keep feeding the tens who need to start coming down here to the ones and twos and start feeding them? Is the church going to come to these ones and twos and feed the people that need to get along their way in their faith? Or are we just going to keep refining the tens? And that's something that we need to start praying about now. This building is a year or two away at least. And we need to start praying about what God's plans are for this building, what he wants to do with this building, how he's going to use this building, the kind of events that are going to go on in this building, and just give the elders in this church the knowledge of how to use this building so that maybe one day all of Fairbanks can know Christ. Could you imagine if all of Fairbanks knew Christ? What kind of city this would be? Man, I'm excited for Journey, and like I said, I could stand up here all day and preach, but I think a lot of you are learning that I like real short, to-the-point sermons. So that's all I got for today. I'm going to pray. I got a couple things I'm going to say after I pray, and then we'll go from there. God, thanks for this day. We love you, and we worship you. Lord, take our hearts and let us walk out of here just eager and wanting to tell more people about you. We want to tell about you, Lord. We want the city of Fairbanks to know you. We want people to trade a time on earth for an eternity in heaven, Lord. This time on earth is just so short. Use it for us to glorify and honor and tell about you, Lord. We love you. We thank you for the joys that you give us. We pray this in your name. Amen. If you want to volunteer, come talk to me. Talk to Dave Wilcoxon or Dave Goff, or when Derek gets back next week, talk to Derek. We'll get you involved. There's a lot of people that come here at 8 a.m. every morning and start setting up. If you want to help out with that, come next week at 8 a.m. and just ready to work and set things up and give some people a break. It'd be real cool. The other thing is, Derek gets back on Saturday from Indiana. So pray for safe travels for him and his family. But when Derek gets back, he's probably going to ask a lot of us how Journey has been. And this is what you have to tell him. When Derek asks you how Journey has been, just say things have been better than usual. That's all I got for today. Man, it's been real good getting to know a lot of you. Please continue to get to know me. I want to get to know you. Thanks, guys.